Hey guys, been a while. This is Michael Sullivan, and we're back on the Viking of Valhalla Project podcast. And today I wanted to talk a little bit about surrendering to pain and what that means, I believe, from what I experience from most people. And maybe something that we could do about that. What I see it doing a lot is causing people to get what would be, in other words, gun shy for taking movement in their life, for taking opportunities of moving forward. So first of all, I kind of want to talk about what is pain. And I see it in a couple of different ways. There's a damage type of pain where we're talking about an injury, for example, and you know, having a bone broken in half or tearing a tendon off of your leg, something of this nature. These things are significant and have a particular protocol to take care of them. That is part of the problem, is physical pain. But then you're going to have another obvious type is going to be mental or emotional, where we're talking about pressure. And the pressure could be physical or mental. In grappling, sambo, and jiu-jitsu, too, the sports that I participate in regularly, the pressure or the weight of another person smashing you in itself is not painful, but it creates an emotional state that could cause you to quit and submit just to pressure, because you perceive or you are under the impression that you're going to suffocate and because you can't breathe normally. See, there's a way to learn to breathe under that kind of pressure. Typically what ends up happening is one of your lungs in side control, for example, will get smashed to the point that it doesn't really work well. And there's a way, and everybody can do it, that you can just calm down and just breathe out of the other lung. And when I use the word just, like it's just super easy and then you'll be fine, is not what I mean. What I mean is there's an option to suffocating. There is breathing out of one lung instead of no lungs, if that makes sense. Another way of looking at pain in this conversation will be events occurring outside of normal circumstances, breaking a pattern, breaking the creature of habit within many of us, and that could create a significant level of perceived pain. And I think the word perceived is real important here. And then finally, I wanted to re-stress in this conversation, are we talking about physical or mental pain? Either one of them tend to cause people to drop their dreams and their values and walk away. So I ask my students, when they start explaining to me that something's painful or hurts, and I ask them, are you damaged? Is something broken? And 9 times out of 10, the answer is no, I'm just uncomfortable, really. Either he's doing something over here that I don't want him to do, or the pressure's too much, or it's pinching, or it's hard on my joints, as submission grappling can be if you are not quick to tap. So I have a couple of ways that I have my students kind of look at pain, and a little bit, and this may seem weird, has to go through a bit of a filter, a lens, the way that you look at life and how you break down time. And the reason that matters is because there has to be a point in time that you experience the pain. And so I ask people to break down that pain in such a way that we can learn to see past it and not think that this new state of pain is going to be the normal living condition from this point forward if you continue moving towards your goals. I mean, you'll get used to it. But here's the way I see it. I think people, if you want to be able to move forward in life, whether it be in the martial arts or anything else, you're going to have to develop an outlook on suffering, because life is plenty of suffering. And I know there's the optimistic out there, the more liberal mindset that's going to say, no, life is wonderful and everything's great and it's all fluffy. But they're not only lying to you, they're lying to themselves. The life can be very challenging in this country. The challenging is not like it is in other countries. It's more paperwork based and financial. But this is what I'm talking about in the outlook. And because it's paperwork based and financial, people aren't very tough. And so when they come into a facility like mine at Fusebox Samba 1, they say, oh, this is, I don't know if this is for me, this is very uncomfortable, this is kind of painful. I talk to my wife and she doesn't want me to get hurt. And I have to explain to people, no, nobody wants anybody to get hurt. That's not the goal. I don't want to see my children get in a car wreck. That's not the idea. And the way they're explaining it is something similar to that. But I also don't want to see my children back down because they fear getting a boo-boo. I want them to push through minor injuries or minor pain in life to accomplish what they're trying to accomplish, their larger goal. So I'm going to give a word. I'm going to introduce a word here that may help the outlook on suffering. The word is kairos. And kairos, the way I explain it in the facility, is the point in time of actual change. It's oftentimes an uncomfortable situation that a greater opportunity can come from. And it's not a word that we have in English. It's a Greek word, and it is a tremendous way of perceiving things. So the Greeks look at time in a couple of different ways, three different ways from my understanding. Kairos, the actual literal meaning, is the right, critical, or opportune moment. And another way of putting that is the point in time of actual change. And chronos, this refers to the chronological or sequential time way of looking at time. So that is the chronological order of time itself. And then chaos, which I describe as the lack of control of time, but originally was the gaping void of nothingness. So anything could possibly occur in that, I guess. So throughout history, in English, the word kairos hasn't been used a lot, but biblically it has, and in Greek it certainly has. In the Christian's Bible, Romans 13:11-13, kairos time is here. It calls for action, conversion, and transformation. But it doesn't go into the definition of kairos, really, in a way that we can understand it today. So that's why I'm kind of introducing it in such a simplistic way. Corinthians 6:1-2, kairos is not just a crisis, but an opportunity and favor, a moment of grace. So that kind of gives you 2 points of where it was used in the Christians' ideology. And in the Greeks, it's the personification of opportunity, luck, and favorable moments. Also, the youngest son of Zeus was kairos. This is a concept that I use when people are trying to explain to me wanting to submit to pain. And I see it in so many different ways. The pain of finances, the pain of the threat of bad finances, the pain of losing friends, the pain of losing family, the pain of not having a job or letting your parents down or letting down your belief system that everything should go in a very particular chronological way, or in a very particular chronos. All this stuff creates pain. The pain that I find that is most limiting is perception, the pain of perception. And when people come into the facility, they're under perception that this is going to be incredibly painful. Or if that they did feel pain, they will oftentimes amplify that pain and grow it in their head to be monumental, when really it was an insignificant small amount of pain. So utilizing the ideology of Kairos, I have people, they get into, let's say, that side control pressure again, and they're saying things like, this is really painful. This really hurts. I have Kronos. I have this point in time of actual pain, and I don't know what to do about it. And we can either let that opportunity slide us by, or we can say, this is the perfect time for Kairos. Here's how you breathe out of one lung. And then I'll have the person try it, and they say, wow, that really works. And then off they go into creating a more defendable body movement based upon dealing with the threat of the person versus the threat of the perception of not being able to breathe. Oftentimes when we're dealing with pain, people are so afraid of it that they'll let it stop them up in almost every aspect of their life. And in some cases it's good, because the threat of pain, for example, in a car wreck, doing something reckless, is potentially life-threatening. What when we're talking about engaging in some type of positive life-altering thing, adventure, such as, let's say, climbing a mountain and then not climbing it because you perceive it's going to be hard, there is the benefit is gone. And I ask people to really sit down and think about why they're surrendering to this pain. And I have to ask people to do it in their life. And I don't have a ton of room for people that insist upon letting pain be a ruler in their life. I'd speaking to somebody recently that said that they pay $250-some a month for insurance with a $5,000 deductible. And a lot of people do this, well, because in some cases you have to. In other cases, they do it out of fear of what could come. And it is fear causing the motion, the fear causing the action every single month. And there's no real growth coming from this. There's not, in most cases, a significant financial savings based upon spending this money. It's largely and almost exclusively a money out thing. And then if you do take care of yourself, chances are you won't even need to have medical attention. So that's a totally different conversation and not something I want to get off in. But the point was that fear was the driver. What I'm trying to get people to do is not use fear as a driver. Use fear as a challenge, as long as it's intelligent. Calculated risk is very important. If we're talking MMA, if we're talking the martial arts, and we're talking about growing and becoming something, you can't base on fear. Boy, I'm going to get hit. I'm going to get hurt. I can't stand the thought of the damage that I could take. The world can't be set up on what you don't want. It has to be set up on what you do want if you want it to be successful to any degree that I can understand, from what I understand of life. So what I would advise to keep from surrendering from pain is at the strongest point of your life, when you're feeling strong, whether it be in a given day or a month or a week, I ask people, sit down and write out the goals that you want to accomplish. In the process of doing this, I ask people to understand a 5-point system: priorities, values, beliefs, wishes, and urges, because that kind of summarizes your personality. Now, inside of those 5 things, which everything that you write out on a goal should fall into one of those categories, what you have to take a look at is, The human mood complex, which is all over the place. Even if you think you're not emotional, well, that was an emotional decision. You're hot, you're cold, you're neutral. All these things are emotions. So the way I break that down is an A1 and an A2. So you have an A1 is an open adult conversation we're having now. A2 is, let's say, you're talking to attorneys, arguing adults, having a fight with your wife or something. C1 is an open child. You're sitting down with buddies, having a beer, talking, laughing, making jokes you wouldn't want to tell at the office. C2 would be that same fight with your wife, except she's throwing all your clothes out into the street, screaming about how you didn't obey her. P1 is how you expect to be treated, and P2 is how you expect to treat other people. Now, every one of those personality complexes that I just stated, or every one of those moods, if you want to break them down like that, need to have the same 5-point system, or every time you switch gears in a mood or the way you feel, your 5-point system could either completely change or be based completely in just a willy-nilly kind of chaos kind of way that we just spoke about, into this great void that time goes. If you're not structuring your brain and your personality and your coping mechanisms to make sense. And this is how I see the world as a coach. Are you doing these things, or are you just flying by the seat of your pants? And I get a lot of resistance, and it's not for everybody, but success is only really for the top 3% of people. And if stuff like this is too hard, then maybe you're not a top 3%er. I know I've got a lot of work to do in this area, but knowing, I guess, is at least part of the battle. So what I try to do as a coach is get these people to kind of get on the same thought page as me, so we can create some fluid priority, values, beliefs, wishes, and urges inside of their martial arts training. So they're not surrendering when they slide into a C2, for example, or an A2, where they're thinking something like, oh, well, you know, for I better stay safe and go do the stuff I hate, or just do the stuff that's less, has less risk and less opportunity. It's just to make sure that I still have this house payment on this house that I maybe didn't really even want. I try to get people to avoid that. It doesn't always work. My averages, just like everybody else that would do this, you probably don't have tremendous averages, because most people are going to submit to fear, and they're going to call fear whatever you want to call it. Call it prudence, call it smart, call it like everybody else calls it. Do whatever you want, but it is fear. And I'm trying to create this organization in such a way that people don't collapse to fear and then don't live in stupidity as well. So it's delicate balance. Too conservative is stupidity, too liberal is stupidity. And I think you can use your imagination to kind of figure out what I mean by that. So when we're dealing with people in the gym trying to become pro fighters or professional athletes, pain couldn't come in the term of that side control pressure, for example, to shins hurting, to the bumps and bruises of the fight, to the cardio pain, to the strength pain, to you're not good enough as you are right now pain, that it's not personal that I have to improve you. It really isn't personal. But it bothers some people to no end, and that alone breaks them down. I've had many people say, there's nothing I need to improve about myself. I'm good enough as is. And all I can say when they do say something like that is, well, good luck, because you know the rest of us are stuck in this world where we do have to improve or die. And So getting people to wake up early, to train late, to do whatever it takes is very, very challenging. And they're submitting to this perception of pain in their life more often than not and skipping training because they don't want to hear from their girlfriend or their wife and else. They're not paying enough attention to them. And so in the end, what ends up happening in this situation, if you're not able to control this, is mostly you just lose the opportunity. You lose your goals. You lose your dreams. And in the end, you become an unhappy person and you lose the girl anyway. So it's important to me to get people to take a look at what pain means and why they're surrendering to pain. Instead of looking at it as a challenge and bolstering themselves up to where that pain can no longer defeat them. And we're all going to be at different levels on this. And I have personally a lot of looking at myself that I have to do on a regular basis. To be honest about what change that I need to make in order to make my life work as an old person, which is coming up here shortly, as the way I feel. And I don't want to surrender to pain myself. I don't want to surrender and say, oh man, I'm 50 and I better start giving up, because that's what everybody else has done. That's 50, they gave up, so I'm going to go join the crowd and give up. Or I'm 30, I should give up. I'm 25, I should give up. Everybody's quick to just give up, and everybody's so proud of them, because here's the trick. Misery loves company. Man, the second you give up, there'll be 100 people say, come on, man, come over here and get in line with me, and we'll watch the ones that didn't give up. And that's it. So we were talking about pain. And we were talking about time. And the reason I mix these two, besides the topics that I had just, the reasons I had just given you, is that time is exhaustible. You have a finite amount of it. And most people waste it because they don't understand the value of it. Or they don't believe in themselves. Or they fear the organization or the chaos, or they fear looking at themselves or designing goals or building a schedule. Fear is stepping in the way of what they're doing with their time, and it's creating problems. So I'm trying to get people to look at this time, point in time of actual change, like Kairos, and the amount of time that you have to accomplish the goals before your body gets too old or the opportunity passes. There is a saying that there's no pain like that from the opposite sex, and that is a unique rejection pain. But I'm telling you right now from experience, there's nothing like the pain of regret of what you didn't do with your life because of fear. When the only thing that existed in that fear was your perception, it's horrible. So my job as a coach is to get people to stop surrendering to pain unless it's causing damage. But to really look at situations and think through them and ask if this is a reason to quit or if this is a reason to push forward. You have a finite amount of time on this planet. You don't have to look like everybody else. You don't have to do the exact same thing. So from my coach's perspective, step up to the plate. Take your swings. If you fail, go practice, come back, do it again. Repeat that process until you get it figured out. And if you get it figured out, I hope that you turn around and help somebody else understand. That's really all I had to share today. I didn't want to create a great big long podcast over this topic today. I think it was something that could be quickly done and everybody would understand what I'm trying to get at. If you have any further questions you want to talk about, feel free to contact me. I'd love to hear from people. And if you want to stop into the facility and meet me as a coach, I'd love to meet you there too. We're located in Westminster, Colorado. We're 9975 Wadsworth Parkway, Westminster, Colorado. 80021. And I am the owner and head coach of Fusebox Ensemble One. And I look forward to meeting each and every one of you that has an opportunity to get in and train here at the facility, seeing what we can do to help you out and help you reach and accomplish your goals. Guys, thanks for your time today. I'm going to cut everybody free. Get on out there and don't surrender that pain. Don't tap out unless you know there's a reason to tap out. You won't love yourself if you cower out in life. You will not love yourself when you grow old and look back and see that you were hiding and you could have had anything you wanted. Viking Valhalla, out. Peace, guys.